from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This division, I think, is going to be one of the better ones. I still don't anticipate anything out of New England. But those three teams, I think, are still fantastic. And I think, like, listen, the Jets thing was supposed to be this massive, massive deal last year and was gone in 5 seconds. And now we'll run it back. And Rodgers is one of these guys that, whatever you want to say about him off the field, fine. I can't quit him on the field. He's still the best quarterback I have ever seen. I'm not saying the greatest like Brady. I've never seen anybody play the game better than Rodgers. And now he's got a fantastic offense, one of the best defenses he's ever had in his career. The Jets are going to be for real.
That is Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, all lots of different things that he's doing, of course. And he's got his own bobblehead here in Buffalo tomorrow night at the Bisons game. The Bisons are doing a Kyle Brandt bobblehead because he's kind of an adopted Bills Mafia guy, right? And he's super pumped about it. We like when people, you know, bring that juice and bring that energy, and that's why we're going to talk about the Jets with our guy who loves to bring the juice and bring the energy. He's known as Boy Green over on The Score in Syracuse. He's normally on 10 to 12 every day. He is, so I can't normally have him on my show, The Extra Point Show. So when I host a morning show like this, I reach out to Paul and say, let's talk Jets. My man, what is up? Good to talk to you. It's Sal and Nate here in Buffalo this morning.
Sal and Nate, what is poppin', baby? Football is back. It's phenomenal.
We love it. Listen, I said, I texted you and I said, dude, you can come on at 7 or you can come on at 8. And most people choose 8 to get a little extra hour. Not you. You are ready and fired up. I mean, you just start the day at, heck, 0 to 60. You start at 120.
That's right. 8 is for losers, baby. 7 o'clock. What's the only option?
I love it. I love it. We got you on to talk about the New York Jets, of course, and you're over there at The Score in Syracuse. You're a host of the Man Child Show. You do your own daily Jets stuff, and you got a lot going on with the Jets. You're covering that team over there. I hear that clip from Kyle Brandt, okay, Paul, and yeah. I think that it sounds very similar to last year. Isn't it kind of, we're just running this back, but we're just going to make sure that Rodgers is healthy, hopefully. Like, it sounds a lot like last year. What is different between before Rodgers got hurt last year and how it sounded now and how it sounds today?
I would say, you know, you brought me on for more juice. The Jets added more juice. I've heard my friend Joe Caparoso, who covers the New York Jets for Badlands, he said, and he's used the term last dance Jets, and adding some of those kind of players, Tyron Smith, future Hall of Famer, really talented players like Mike Williams, and other pieces to the puzzle that have major injury risk, but if healthy, when healthy, have proven to be spectacular players. Tyron Smith was a second-team All-Pro last season, and Mike Williams, when he's been on the field for the Chargers, that offense has looked dramatically different for a guy like Mike Williams. So long story short, it is the same in a lot of ways, but the pressure's up. even more so. You know, when Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas and company last season first got Rodgers, there's a lot of honeymoon action happening there. The honeymoon's over. It's a results-oriented business. The Jets need to win, or Game of Thrones style, or House of Dragons style, heads are going to roll.
Yeah, I would say that of all the teams in the NFL, maybe most poignantly, it would be the Jets front office and head coach that might be, I would say, on the hot seat, not so much of like, I don't know how I want to phrase it, but it seems like because of the New York media market, so much of a pressure cooker there, they have a very, very doable schedule. If they don't get off to a good start, we could really start to hear some rumblings.
100%. It's a great way to put it. When you take a gander at the Jets' schedule, there's a couple of opponents that are like, oh, baby. Like, buckle your chin strap. Week one, on the road, Monday Night Football, the San Francisco 49ers. Skip to week six, obviously. The Jets will be running it back. Another primetime game against your Buffalo Bills. That'll be another one. But between there's a lot of, okay, I can see it. Week two on the road against Tennessee. Week three, home opener against the New England Patriots. Week four, the Denver Broncos. They have a London trip sandwiched in there. Week five against Minnesota. But four of those six are eminently winnable games that you could certainly see the New York Jets getting off to a hot start and then throwing, obviously, the difficult challenges, which is the 49ers and the Buffalo Bills. Those are two of the hardest games on the New York Jets schedule. If they don't get off to a hot start, oh, baby. We're talking about the pressure being on right now on July 19th. It's going to reach another level where, you know, we've never seen under Woody Johnson's ownership. He's on the team for the last 24 years. He bought the team in 2000. He's never fired a coach midway through any season. He's always waited to the end. Boy, if they had a rough start where the wheels blew off, I could see him making a change.
I wonder, too, just thinking about where the narrative for this team has been on offense. Obviously, it's all really predicated and based around the quarterback, right? And Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. and not having him last year. But I think part of the conversation started to turn a little bit to Nathaniel Hackett, who is a Aaron Rodgers guy, right? And a lot of the media talk, when there's media talk because there's not a lot of football going on, was that they had looked to or wanted to replace Nathaniel Hackett, but that Aaron Rodgers wanted him around. And you're talking about potentially a move if they don't get out to a hot start, that they could move on from Robert Saleh. The problem is, do they really have another coordinator that they could rely on to be a head coach? And where is the fan base with Nathaniel Hackett? Was he part of the problem last year? Obviously, Zach Wilson just wasn't very good under other coordinators as well. But like, how much is the concerns around Nathaniel Hackett and whether or not they have a coach that they could potentially turn to if things go south?
It's a great question. And the immediate answer is defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich. He has not garnered interest in terms of head coaching interviews yet, but there has been a buzz about Jeff Ulbrich. You almost have to, like, once there's buzz, it's almost the following year is when potentially you could start to actually get the head coaching interviews. And Jeff Ulbrich has talked about that in his a couple of media opportunities this offseason. So Saleh was to lose his gig, Ulbrich would be the number one option, unquestioned, that would get that head coaching opportunity. The team loves him. Of course, the results have been outstanding outside of that first year where the numbers were really rough analytically. And there's a lot of pressure even to potentially move on from Ulbrich after his first season. He was brought on with Robert Saleh as part of that initial hire. And Saleh stuck by him, and it's paid wonderful dividends with how the Jets have been. They've been a top five defense for the last 2 years, and they're going to attempt to do the same thing here a third consecutive season to see if they'll be able to do that. And to your Hackett point, again, Diana Rossini came out earlier this week on a new podcast, The Scoop, and said that the Jets were talking with Arthur Smith, and I can confirm that they were trying to do that. But here's the problem with what you were saying there, Nate, is that they were attempting to replace Nathaniel Hackett. The weird part of this, and why I don't blame Arthur Smith at all for telling the Jets to go kick rocks, is Nathaniel Hackett would have stuck around. So Arthur Smith would have come into the room, been the primary play caller, and Nathaniel Hackett would have been in the room as well, which obviously would have been incredibly awkward. Hackett could have even kept the OC title as he had in Green Bay for a couple of years, but the play caller was LaFleur. So you could have had that weird situation, but again, I don't blame Arthur Smith for not taking that. It's very unclear. There's obviously a lot of pressure. Things don't go well for the Jets this season. Everyone's getting fired, so I don't blame Arthur Smith for doing that. Plus, obviously ended up with an OC job anyway over there with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But from the fan perspective, I mean, there are torches, there are pitchforks, there are outside of the organization. They want Nathaniel Hackett removed immediately if they had it their way. But the Jets stuck by him. And you heard Aaron Rodgers, one of many comments he's made this offseason, is if you trust me, to Jet fans, was his message. If you trust me, you should trust Hackett. And then you shrug your shoulders and say, okay, well, Aaron Rodgers will be the quasi-OC here. Will that be enough? Ultimately, we'll see.
And, Paul, that was going to be kind of my follow-up question to you is, I think the relax part of this is, well, Aaron Rodgers is just, whatever play is called, Aaron Rodgers probably just going to change it at the line of scrimmage anyways. But I do wonder, like, is that like a calming conversation when you're hearing your quarterback or even the pundits that say, well, you know, Hackett might not be able to hack it, you know, pun intended, but at least, you know, at least they've got Aaron Rodgers, who has been in the game long enough where when he's at the line of scrimmage, he's going to get them checked into the right plays anyways. I guess, even in Peyton Manning's heyday, like, he still relied on coaches implementing a system each week and using those as sort of your foundation to build off of. I just wonder, is that really a talking point that is comforting, I guess?
Well, it's divisive among the fans, I'll be honest with you, Nate, because on one side, there's a term some Jet fans like to use, willful blindness, and say, well, yeah, I know some people are saying this about Hackett, but Rodgers is, you know, he's going to solve everything, right? And all of a sudden we're getting higher registered, right? He's going to be okay, right? He's going to fix everything? And then the others are like, oh, good Lord, like Nathaniel Hackett has got up, but look what happened in Denver, look what happened in his first year. And sure, to your point you mentioned earlier, they had Zach Wilson, which was, you know, 33rd level quarterback play. There's only 32 teams in the league, so that was not very good. But he didn't seem to get the most out of the talent that was on the roster, the talent that was out of the positions. It didn't seem like he was maximizing it from that perspective. So take the Zach Wilson thing for what it is, and the other three quarterbacks that got into action last year, for the love of everything that's holy, for the New York Jets last year. It is a divisive topic. Half of Jet fans believe it's going to be A-OK, and Aaron Rodgers is just going to, again, whatever terrible play call that happens from Hackett at any point, that Rodgers can just fix. But to be honest, there is now going to be, with Aaron Rodgers, Jets, the Jets team and the Jets fans believe they're going to be in a lot more games this year, which means that everything's going to be magnified. Situational football didn't matter for a 7-10 football team last year. That was less of a story. It'll be more of a story as Aaron Rodgers is the primary quarterback for the Jets for either the length of the season or most of the season as Tyrod Taylor steps in. A guy you guys obviously are intimately familiar with over there in Buffalo, to step up to the plate. So it is divisive. Some people believe he can. Some people believe he can't. It is comforting because Aaron Rodgers is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, a four-time MVP, and he's won two of those MVPs in the last 4 years. So that part is comforting, but I can't lie. The Hackett thing is disgusting and makes me cry at night.
Listen, but as much as it's comforting with that resume, he is 40. He is coming off an Achilles, and he didn't play his best football the last time he played a full season a couple years ago.
27th in QBR.
What kind of concern is there at all with that, especially, and you can maybe weave this in, Paul, to talk about the offensive line and some of the changes in protecting him, but, I mean, this isn't a slam dunk that he's just going to be Aaron Rodgers of the mid, you know, 20-teens.
Absolutely not. You are right. It is not a slam dunk by any means. We really have no real history for quarterbacks that are Rodgers' age. He's 40, turns 41 in December, coming off a torn Achilles and everything that entails. So we don't know. It's a big mystery. I've asked players on the team. I've asked analysts around, trying to get some sort of a gauge or sense, and all of them give me the shrug shoulders emoji on what we're going to see from Aaron Rodgers this season. So it's unclear. When we talk about that 2022 season, I was taking a deeper dive into those numbers, and sure, a lot of Jet fans like to say, look at those numbers compared to Jets history. And that's not saying much because the Jets haven't had a great history of quarterback play. But when you evaluate it from an overall NFL standpoint, you know, like his passing yards were 11th. His touchdowns were top 10 in that season. And when we bring up the 12 interceptions that he had, which was the most he's had in a very long time, other quarterbacks that season that had 12 interceptions or more, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott. There was a lot of quarterbacks that had issues turning over the ball in that season. So I think sometimes when we bring up those numbers, it's true that he was not playing obviously at an MVP level or normal Aaron Rodgers level normal Aaron Rodgers level and levels for other quarterbacks are on, as the kids say, levels. There's levels to this, and sometimes that's a little different. But to your point, it's a complete bag of mystery. We have no idea. Rodgers could be an MVP. He could be an average guy, the 2022 version, or, of course, he could be worse. He could completely fall off a cliff. Based on everything we've seen in shorts and T-shirts, which isn't much, Aaron Rodgers appears to be the same quarterback that we saw when he first arrived back last season, earlier in the offseason. But to your protection question, yeah, it's been a complete revamping. Last year's starting tackle tandem was Dwayne Brown and Mekhi Becton. Not ideal. And Becton was actually surprised. He took the job, the starting right tackle job, very late in the preseason last year. At first, it didn't look like he was going to start at all, and then he took the job there. Now you have Tyron Smith, who, like I said earlier in the conversation, second-team All-Pro last season, but of course it's injuries that he has not played a full season since 2015. That's also, coincidentally, the last time the Jets had a winning record. So it's been a long time for Tyron. But the Jets have the ultimate insurance policy in Olu Fashanu, who they took for the 11th overall pick in the first round, and he is Tyron Smith's backup at left tackle. And on the right side, they traded for Morgan Moses, a steady veteran that the Jets are very familiar with. He had a prior stint with the New York Jets a couple years ago and was very solid. Last year, he a guy that's normally available wasn't, because he had a torn pec, so he ended up only playing in 14 games last year, but he's solid. They got rid of Laken Tomlinson, who performed very poorly. They brought in John Simpson, another former Baltimore Ravens offensive lineman. They have Joe Tippmann, who's going to be their starting center. And then another big injury question is Elijah Vera Tucker, who has missed 22 games over the last two seasons, and they're hoping he can finally stay healthy by keeping him at one position. He's played four of the five offensive line positions since coming into the NFL. So long story short, there's more of those same questions we talked about earlier. Injuries, injuries, injuries with guys like Morgan coming off a torn pec, Tyron Smith, and ABT, who's coming off of several injuries, including a torn tricep and a torn Achilles over the last 2 years. But the offensive line on paper, and in theory right now of everything we're looking at, has a chance to be a really good offensive line. But of course, as always, everyone has to stay healthy.
And of course, they have a really good defense. They have a defensive head coach. There's no doubt that this is a team that has so much talent on defense. The Boy Green joined us. He is the host of the Manchild Show in Syracuse, the Score, 1260, 10 to 12 weekdays. Also, you can find him heavy on sports, does digital stuff for them. He's on Twitter, at BoyGreen25. But on the defensive side, interesting. So you have the same thing going on in New York with fans, the Jets. The same thing happened with the Bills and their fans. We have an anonymous executive calling an elite player overrated. For the Bills, it was Josh Allen. This was the discourse this week, right, where some executive called him overrated, and now you got all these national people defending him, and rightfully so, which is ridiculous. The same thing happened with Sauce Gardner, right? Sauce Gardner, some executive calls him overrated, and yet he drops from 2 to 3 on the overall list. I mean, what did that do to Jets fans, and how do you see that?
Yeah, that certainly poured some gasoline. Yeah, the exec said one of the most overrated players in the entire NFL is Sauce Gardner. And then more in the Jeremy Fowler top 10 ranking that you're referencing, Jeremy revealed that several of the elite NFL front office people didn't even have Sauce Gardner in the top 10.
Crazy.
You know, I see the three, and I'm kind of like, eh. I don't know how, after another first-team All-Pro corner, first-team All-Pro season for Sauce Gardner, he is the only corner since the AFL-NFL merger. So this Super Bowl era to ever get a first-team All-Pro in his first two seasons. It's him, and that's the list. I don't know how, after another season of that magnitude, that he drops on the list. But fine, we can argue and debate whether or not PS2, Patrick Surtain II, or Denzel Ward is up there. Like, that's okay. We could kind of argue and go back and forth on that. Not a top 10 quarter. Like, oh, good Lord, have mercy. Jet fans lost their collective bananas over that one, and that one added a little bit to it. But if you want to criticize Sauce, there are two things that you could say. Number one, he is not a turnover monster. He has only two interceptions in his first 2 years, and both of those picks came in his rookie campaign, and he dropped several last season. Could have been game changers in several different situations. And the other one is he doesn't travel, that he stays on one side. But that we should see should change a little bit this year. Sauce very rarely ever traveled in his first two seasons. Now Saleh is changing the script and opening the door for that, and Sauce himself has talked about it and said he brought it to the coaches, so that should be fascinating. There's a lot of wonderful wide receiver matchups on the schedule for the Jets this year. It'll be interesting to see Sauce actually go on an island and try to do some Darrelle Revis action and see if he can take away the opponent's number one wide receiver. Easier said than done. Revis is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, so we'll see what happens there. But that's something that can quell some of the doubt. It won't end all the haters or the doubters that are there on Sauce, but that will quiet a lot of the conversation if he does travel and he has success traveling to the same level that he's had through the first 2 years of his career.
And, of course, one of those two interceptions in his career came against Josh Allen in the game where Allen ultimately actually hurt his elbow at the end of the game. The Jets won that game 20-17. Paul, not even from fans, just from you. If you're concerned about an area of the team, independent of Rodgers' health, we know that that's a question. We don't know. If you have a concern, you say, I'm just not super confident right here. Where is it?
It's a great question. Just me thinking about it. And you said it's outside of Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go outside of Aaron Rodgers, I guess the one question would be for this Jets team is when you look at health, the Jets have been incredibly unlucky in health on the offensive side of the ball. But on the defensive side of the ball, the Jets must have been kissing the right Irish ladies and Lady Luck and all these sorts of things the last couple of years. They've avoided the defensive bugaboo injuries for much of this solid tenure. You know, so there's multiple things that don't normally continue. The top five defense in multiple years in a row, the Jets would be nearing history to be a top five defense for a third straight year. It's hard to keep up that elite level of defensive play. The Jets do have continuity with the coaching staff, and they did have a few changes inside the front seven with Bryce Huff going to Philadelphia, and they traded away John Franklin Myers. But it is the injury bug that I'm a little concerned with. That's something you can't control. And these guys, unlike all the injury players we talk about on the offensive side of the ball, on the defense, there is no history that says these are going to happen, but it's almost like, when is the other shoe going to drop from an injury perspective? So that's it a little bit. And then this Hassan Reddick situation, obviously. He is disgruntled. Mm-hmm. He's frustrated. He wants money. He changed his mind, apparently, from the Jets' perspective. Hassan Reddick, when they spoke to him, the Eagles allowed that prior to the trade. He said, I'm cool playing out my deal. Then everything transpired where, again, Huff ends up signing somewhere else. JFM gets traded, and Reddick's agent goes, whoa, we got a little bit of leverage here. I know we said that before, but all of a sudden now you guys got to pay us up. And now it's a little bit awkward between the New York Jets and Hassan Reddick. So how that situation plays out, they have less than a week, obviously, before the rest of the team reports, which is next Tuesday, first practice on Wednesday. That's another situation that's bubbling beneath the surface.
All right, before we let you go, real quickly here, you are a radio host in Syracuse. What's the vibe with Fran Brown and the Syracuse football program? They open up August 31st. I mean, from afar, the recruiting has just been an absolute bullseye every step of the way. That's why they brought him in. Question now is, can he and his staff coach, I guess?
Yeah, and Sal, you're going to love to hear this, but the energy is palpable in Syracuse right now. Because, go to all the levels of recruiting he's done. He's done a spectacular job in a lot of areas. But, of course, the quarterback position is most important. The starting quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes that were very, very good last year, Kyle McCord, had 1 year of eligibility. He chose to use that last year of eligibility here at Syracuse. So that has fans unbelievably excited. Of course, the college football playoff is expanding for the first time this upcoming year to 12 teams. As Syracuse fans bubbling, whether they're too over the top or not, depending on your perspective, it's just crazy town. Everyone is in love here in town. But it is that question. Fran Brown has never been a head coach at any level or a significant coordinator. He's a co-defensive coordinator once prior in his college career. So there's a big question of, okay, this is all cool, but can the guy coach? And right now, Syracuse fans are almost willing to build him a statue purely from the recruiting action that's happened here. So if he could just coach halfway elect, I think these Syracuse fans are going to lose their minds. So the excitement is out of this world. And it's not, as a Syracuse guy, it's been a long time since we've been able to say that.
No doubt. Can't wait for the season to start. Can't wait to chat with you again down the road. I'm sure we will. Training camp is here, buddy. Paul Esden, Boy Green over at The Score in Syracuse. Thanks for doing this morning. Thanks for bringing the energy and the juice. You always do.
Anytime, boys. Sal and Nate, football's back, baby. Let's roll.
All right, you got it. Does a really good job there covering the Jets. I love it. He's got a lot of energy. Speaks to me on that level, right? But he's right. You know, we were just talking about the question about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and 40 years old and coming off an Achilles. There's no precedent for this. Nobody knows how it's going to go. It could be great. He could just show up and be like Aaron Rodgers of old, just literally stand back in the pocket and throw darts, have to move around a little bit. But he also could be, this could be a disaster again. And if that's the case, you know, then they're going to be making changes sooner rather than later. Of any team in the league, I think this is all or nothing. The Jets are the most all or nothing team. It's either they're going to be really good and everything goes, hey, oh my God, we finally did it, broke a 13-year playoff drought like they have, yep, we have here in Buffalo, the Sabres. Or it's like, didn't work again, everybody's out, everybody's gone.
They are taking a very different route the Bills did, right? I mean, yeah. Sean McDermott, when they came in here to break the drought, it was about, it'd be nice to make the playoffs, but there's bigger things at play. Listen, it's risky. I mean, they've got young players on that team, but they are going all in on trying to win a Super Bowl around a lot of older players. And yeah, to your point, if it doesn't go well, it's clearinghouse time.
Let's talk a little bit more about the AFC East, the Jets, the Patriots, the Dolphins. I want to get into that. We got Joe Licata coming up at 9 a.m. He's got a quarterback camp, an academy day coming up, a really big fun event for kids. Anybody who's a young quarterback in training, you're interested in it, that's coming up next week. But also just about quarterback play in general and how it's changed over the years. We'll talk with Joe at 9 a.m. In the meantime, we can take your phone calls. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio, Nate Geary, filling in this morning on the Jeremy and Joe Show on WGR.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling,
come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The NFL executive that put this out is Brandon Bean. Brandon Bean is now setting the stage for one of the all-time dumbest trades in the history of the NFL when the Buffalo Bills decide to part ways with Josh Allen. Because an anonymous story like this doesn't benefit anybody.
Okay, that's Craig Carton. He is on FS1, formerly WFAN in New York. I read the quote. Okay, let's set the stage here, Nate. This past week, in Jeremy Fowler's ESPN rankings that he does, NFL front office executives, scouts, coaches, he does a top 10. And there's usually a quote attached to a lot of the guys, each position. And Josh Allen, I don't even know where Josh Allen ranked. Did he finish second, third? Where did Josh Allen even rank in that?
Third behind Mahomes and Burrow.
Okay, great. So he finishes third. But within the piece, there's a quote from an anonymous executive saying he's the most overrated player in the league, or he's so overrated, whatever. He makes a lot of bad decisions, throws picks. Okay, all that stuff. So that has caused a lot of back and forth, and of course it's going to, and it fires everybody up. And that's a stupid thing to say. So people are wondering, who the heck would say that? My theory is, it came from an executive who had a pre-draft notion of Josh Allen. And by the way, before we even move on to this, shout out to our great engineer here, Al Marenka. Al just came in here and fixed our call screener. Even while we have this global outage, and he's like, I can fix all this for you. Internally, we're having some computer issues because you might be having them also. And Al just came in here. He's a wizard. He just like fixed it. So I can see who's calling now, even though we already could have you call. I just couldn't see that, and Evan would have to tell us. Now I can see it. Thank you, Al. These are the people that make our jobs
the real MVP.
Way easier, right? Yeah, you're the real MVP. That's exactly right. So my theory is it came from an executive who had a pre-draft notion of Josh Allen, who just won't accept the fact of how great he is. I have no idea. I agree with that. That's my notion. That's my theory. Craig Carton
has another theory.
Says, as you just heard there, I think it's Brandon Bean. He's saying this to set the stage. I will tell you, though, after listening to the clip, I think he's joking. Because he's saying, it's so absurd, I'm going to say something even more absurd about it. That's what I think he's doing. I do not think he's being serious. I don't think Craig Carton actually believes that Brandon Bean did that. That's my thought.
I don't think Craig Carton believes a lot of what he says. So I think he says a lot of pretty crazy stuff. I would genuinely hope it's a joke, because there's just not a lot of... it's not like he comes out in that clip, too. It's not like he's like, I think this might be Brandon Bean. Like, no, it's Brandon Bean. It's this who it is. That's who's the anonymous source behind this quote. It's not Brandon Bean. I don't even know how I can get there.
Here's how I can completely already debunk that it would be Brandon Bean. If you ever wanted to trade a player, why would you say he's overrated?
Yeah, why would you try to deflate his value?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's number one. It doesn't matter. From there, it's a non-starter. It didn't come from Brandon Bean loves Josh Allen, of course. Brandon Bean has said that he wants to make sure that he can kind of, one year he won't have to hopefully rework Josh's contract to keep this going. And, the way it's moving now with how they have to kind of reset his deal every once in a while. And he couldn't wait to pay him. If you have to pay him, it means he's great. The story itself is just wild that someone would say it, but if you read the Craig Carton thing, which I did yesterday, and then you hear it the way we just did, I just don't think he even believes it. I think he was saying it to be funny or to make sure everybody knows how stupid. He even says how dumb it would be, the dumbest thing, right? He even says it would be the dumbest thing to trade him, and it's super stupid. So
quick update. Yeah. Shane Lowe, is he doing it again? Okay, Shane. Wow, great shot from Shane Lowry here. He hit a shot from the fescue out of bounds. Had to take a drop. That was his drop shot right there. And I think that's to save either bogey or double bogey.
And he's like within 10 feet.
It was an unbelievable shot. Right now, he is going to at least drop one stroke here with a possibility of dropping two. I don't know exactly what he's lying right now.
And he's two up.
He's two up. He's seven under Daniel Brown's, five under Alex Noren's three. And he's tied with Justin Thomas, who has not teed off yet. Billy Horschel just finished his round at two under. This is going to be really interesting, Sal. Like, there is a lot of... we were talking with Brian Koziel in the 6 o'clock hour. I mentioned that the pre-rounds this week, a lot of the pre-tournament coverage talked about minus 14 being the number they thought that they were going to be at. Mm-hmm. If Shane Lowry doubles, gets to 5 under through 11, is 8 under a crazy, I thought? I mean, this could be a bloodbath, Sal. And a lot of open, like the links-style golf courses, you don't necessarily equate to having low, or I should say high scores. You would expect these guys to go really, really low. the conditions. I mean, you can just see they got the parasailers out there. The wind is whipping out there, and that's without any rain. And I think there's rain in the forecast this afternoon. So if the afternoon guys have to deal with the wind that these morning guys have dealt with, and rain, it's gonna be a bloodbath out there.
Shane Lowry up by 2. He's 7-under. Daniel Brown, 5-under, as you just said. We'll see exactly where Lowry is after taking that drop shot and how many he's going to drop here. We just told you we can see our call screener. So thanks for calling in. We're going to get connected with our fans. Todd from Niagara Falls, getting connected with our fans, is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's #1 Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. I hit the button there and it works. Look at that. Great job, Al Moranka, our engineer. Todd, go ahead. You're on WGR.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yeah, the time is finally near. Rookies are in camp. And the veterans, if you call Josh Allen a veteran, he's back next week.
Yes, of course he is.
Correct?
Yeah, everybody reports on Tuesday. So the rookies are here. They're not practicing, just so everybody knows, Todd. They're just going through, like, whatever, meetings, orientations, things like that. You know, they're doing a lot of that stuff. They'll get ready. They'll report with the rest of the team at St. John Fisher on Tuesday, first practice on Wednesday.
Yeah, but what I've been hearing through the hearsay comments I hear around town is, I guess that Keon Coleman, he's supposed to be like a diamond in the rough. Now you got Curtis Samuel as a veteran receiver. And I don't want to bring up the dig story with Allen, but it was kind of like, you know, it's like the soap opera, Days of Our Lives, you know, with the hourglass. And it's kind of like, you know, I mean, would you call Josh Allen a veteran at this point?
Of course he is. Yes, yes. Why would you not? He's been in the league. He's going in his eighth year.
Oh, it's his eighth year,
yeah.
And he's 28 years old.
He's going into his seventh year. Yeah, yes, he's a veteran. Anybody who's 7 years into a league, he signed a second contract. He's a veteran. Yeah, once you're outside your rookie contract, you're certainly a veteran. I think you're a veteran once you're like 3 years in the league, basically. The average span of anyone is over 3 years. But yes, Josh Allen's a veteran. All right, 803-0550 if you want to get connected here. We have a Friday foursome winner we need to announce. Congratulations to JP from West Seneca on winning our Ultimate Golf Experience giveaway, including an invitation to play at the World AM Golf Tournament in Myrtle Beach with access to the 19th hole party, an Encore golf bag, and Encore golf balls, plus $2,000 in Visa gift cards to assist with travel and accommodations, courtesy of Labatt, Encore Golf, and WGR. JP from West Seneca, the Ultimate Golf Experience Giveaway winner. Congratulations. That's
awesome.
An awesome, awesome package that he wins. I was out in West Seneca yesterday. West Seneca East High School is where Dalton Kincaid and Spencer Brown held their football camp. Max was a part of it. Great to see so many kids out there. You know what was really cool for me, though, Nate? They weren't part of, like, it wasn't their camp, but they were still there helping out. Tight end Zach Davidson, offensive lineman Ryan Vandermark, and offensive lineman Tommy Doyle, who's not even going to play this year. They were out there helping their teammates and just kind of volunteering their time, essentially, right? How cool was that for four hours for two straight days? So
especially Tommy Doyle.
That's I know, really, to think about that. All right, yeah. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. Nate and I have a full hour before we get to Joe Licata at 9 a.m. And during that hour, I do want to talk about the Bills, of course, reporting for training camp and look around the AFC East. What happened?
He found his ball.
He found the original one
that he hit into the gorse that like really lost
Shane Lowry.
Him. So now he's going to hit it out of there instead of that provisional that he just took.
Oh, all right. We'll keep you updated. We're going to take a timeout. We'll watch during the break. We'll keep you updated. Joe Licata comes your way at 9 a.m. Bills report to training camp next week. AFC East talk, Buffalo Bills training camp talk. And how about this? It's your chance to see Matt Bove and I in person at training camp. It's always game day in Buffalo. I'm going to tell you all about it and the event we're going to be doing and where we're going to be doing it when we come back on the Jeremy and Joe Show. Sal and Nate filling in today on WGR. Nate, have you watched Hard Knocks? Giants?
I watched the first episode. I have not been able to catch up.
Next tour, really good. You got to watch, man. The Saquon Barkley stuff. There is... It's great. I'm watching with Yana, too. And she said to me, they were showing the numbers, like what it would take. And it was showing Joe Shane talking with his agent and basically saying, like, okay, so if we match, like, whatever you get, if we match it, you're going to want to stay here, right? It's just about, like, just because you want to be a Giant. We just have to match. And he kind of, I think Joe Shane had the impression, like, that's the case. Basically, it's the same contract, and they were willing to, and he still left and went to the Eagles. And she said to me, she goes, so he just wanted out. I said, there's no way you can watch that and not think Saquon just wanted to leave the Giants. It did not matter. Unless they went over the top of money and said, dude, we're going to pay to, you got to stay here. Okay, make it worth my while. He did not want to be there.
Also, you know, from some of the clips I've seen, again, I haven't seen the second or third episode in totality, but it seems like ownership really has an idea or has a thought about what the team should look like. And I can't believe that the narratives around running backs and then hearing them talk about how important Saquon Barkley is to their entire identity as a franchise was interesting, to say the least.
Well,
I think Joe Shane has played this right, by the way.
Which part?
That, listen, I mean, Matt trying to match it, I think they got a blessing in disguise not matching that.
Oh, yeah. I think that paying that amount of money, what they paid him, they gave him 26 guaranteed, 34 total, I think it was, for 3 years. I think I have to look up the exact numbers. I think that's too much. He's really good.
He's 27.
But I will tell you,
coming off of multiple injuries.
But the issue with the Giants is they're in a different situation than like the Bills, who have this star ready-made quarterback, or the Kansas City Chiefs. They have to kind of surround their quarterback with weapons, which is they're kind of in that quarterback purgatory area, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, hey, we don't know who Daniel Jones is. And if you watch, they even say, he's like, we got to surround him. We got to find out who he is. That's a tough spot to be in.
But do you find out who your quarterback is if you're paying a running back? That's more so insulation more than anything.
And he even said, and it's great point you just raised, because in one of the episodes, maybe the first one, he said, I'm not paying him $40 million to turn around and hand off, or whatever they're paying him.
Can I also bring up this point? Because a lot of people bring up this point is, well, Joe Shane's biggest mistake was paying Daniel Jones. And they paid Daniel Jones, and they paid Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones got paid $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
What is that in terms of starting quarterback?
Yeah, it's not as high ranking as you might think.
And they have an out after this year. If they want to get out, they can get out. So they had to re-sign Daniel Jones, and I don't think they overpaid him at all.
If you are
the going rate for a starting quarterback,
that's right. I agree. That's Giants stuff. We're going to talk about the AFC East. We'll go back to the Jets, the Patriots, and the Dolphins as well. Coming up in the next hour, I want to ask Nate to kind of analyze, and we'll go through each of these teams and what he thinks they look like. And we'll take your phone calls as well, 803-0550. But if you're going out to Bills training camp, or even if you're just kind of thinking about maybe heading out to Rochester, Matt Bove and I are going to do It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, the podcast we have here on Odyssey through the app, WGR, and of course online at the Sal Sports YouTube page. We're going to be at Barbill East in Rochester Monday, July 29th. That's a week from next Monday. We're going to be at Barbill in Rochester. It's right around the corner from St. John Fisher, a 10-minute drive, 1129 Empire Boulevard. We're going to have a live It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast event. Of course, wings and drinks and all that. Join us at 7 p.m. It's going to be a great time, so I hope to see you all there. In the meantime, we'll take a timeout here. Nate and I are going to break down the AFC East. We'll also give you some information about Bill's training camp and how everything shakes up and shakes out before next Wednesday, their first time on the field. It's the Jeremy and Joe Show here on WGR. Sal and Nate filling in.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nate, have you watched Hard Knocks? Giants?
I watched the first episode. I have not been able to catch up.
Next tour, really good. You gotta watch, man. The Saquon Barkley stuff. It's great. I'm watching with Yana, too. And she said to me, they were showing the numbers, like what it would take. And it was showing Joe Shane talking with his agent and basically saying, like, okay, so if we match, like, whatever you get, if we match it, you're going to want to stay here, right? It's just about, like, just because you want to be a Giant. We just have to match. And he kind of, I think Joe Shane had the impression, like, that's the case. Basically, it's the same contract, and they were willing to, and he still left and went to the Eagles. And she said to me, she goes, so he just wanted out. I said, there's no way you can watch that and not think Saquon just wanted to leave the Giants. It did not matter. Unless they went over the top of money and said, dude, we're going to pay to, you got to stay here. Okay, make it worth my while. He did not want to be there.
Also, you know, from some of the clips I've seen, again, I haven't seen the second or third episode in totality, but it seems like ownership really has an idea or has a thought about what the team should look like. And I can't believe that the narratives around running backs and then hearing them talk about how important Saquon Barkley is to their entire identity as a franchise was interesting, to say the least.
Well,
I think Joe Shane has played this right, by the way.
Which part?
That, listen, I mean, Matt trying to match it, I think they got a blessing in disguise not matching that.
Oh, yeah. I think that paying that amount of money, what they paid him, they gave him 26 guaranteed, 34 total, I think it was, for 3 years. I think I have to look up the exact numbers. I think that's too much. He's really good.
He's 27.
But I will tell you,
off of multiple injuries.
But the issue with the Giants is they're in a different situation than like the Bills, who have this star ready-made quarterback, or the Kansas City Chiefs. They have to kind of surround their quarterback with weapons, which is they're kind of in that quarterback purgatory area, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, hey, we don't know who Daniel Jones is. And if you watch, they even say, he's like, we got to surround him. We got to find out who he is. That's a tough spot to be in.
But do you find out who your quarterback is if you're paying a running back? That's more so insulation more than anything.
And he even said, and it's great point you just raised, because in one of the episodes, maybe the first one, he said, I'm not paying him $40 million to turn around and hand off, or whatever they're paying him.
Can I also bring up this point? Because a lot of people bring up this point is, well, Joe Shane's biggest mistake was paying Daniel Jones. And they paid Daniel Jones, and they paid Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones got paid $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
What is that in terms of starting quarterback?
Yeah, it's not as high ranking as you might think.
And they have an out after this year. If they want to get out, they can get out. So they had to re-sign Daniel Jones, and I don't think they overpaid him at all.
If you are
the going rate for a starting quarterback,
that's right. I agree. That's Giants stuff. We're going to talk about the AFC East. We'll go back to the Jets, the Patriots, and the Dolphins as well. Coming up in the next hour. I want to ask Nate to kind of analyze, and we'll go through each of these teams and what he thinks they look like, and we'll take your phone calls as well, 803-0550. But if you're going out to Bills training camp, or even if you're just kind of thinking about maybe heading out to Rochester, Matt Bove and I are going to do It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, the podcast we have here on Odyssey through the app, WGR, and of course online at the Sal Sports YouTube page. We're going to be at Barbill East in Rochester Monday, July 29th. That's a week from next Monday. We're going to be at Barbill in Rochester. It's right around the corner from St. John Fisher, a 10-minute drive, 1129 Empire Boulevard. We're going to have a live It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast event. Of course, wings and drinks and all that. Join us at 7 p.m. It's going to be a great time, so I hope to see you all there. In the meantime, we'll take a timeout here. Nate and I are going to break down the AFC East. We'll also give you some information about Bills training camp and how everything shakes up and shakes out before next Wednesday, their first time on the field. It's the Jeremy and Joe Show here on WGR. Sal and Nate filling in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.